Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistuki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service. And today we'll read text 19. So the word for word, mat dharmano kuner eter parisamsuda ashaya purushas ya janasa bhyeti shuta matra gunan hi mam mat dharma guner ethe pari samsuda ashaya apurushya kya yasha bhyeti shuta matra gunan hi mam mat dharmano gunerethe pari samsuda ashayah purushas yanjasa bhyeti shuta matra gunan himam mat dharmano gunerethe samsuda ashaya purushasya achasa bhyeti shuta matra gunan himam. Mat dharmana, of my devotee, guner, with the attributes, eter, these, parisamsuda, completely purified, ashaya, consciousness, purushasya, of a person, anjasa, instantly, abhyati, approaches, Shuta, by hearing, matra, simply, gunam, quality, he, certainly, mam, me. Translation: when one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality. Please repeat. When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the beginning of this instruction, the Lord explained to His mother that mat guna shruti matrena, simply by hearing of the name, quality, form, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately attracted. A person becomes fully qualified with all transcendental qualities by following the rules and regulations as recommended in different scriptures. We have developed certain unnecessary qualities by material association, and by following the above process we become free from that contamination to develop transcendental qualities. As explained in the previous verse, one must become free from these contaminated qualities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Svitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Prishabana Satadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschettade Shatarine Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavinebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the translation: when one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality. Srila Prabhupada, he gives us very nice guidance in his purport. So Srila Prabhupada writes, in the beginning of this instruction, the Lord explained to his mother that mat guna shruta matrena, simply by hearing of the name, quality, form, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately attracted. So for us in this age of Kali, this is what we have to do. We have to chant the holy names of God as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, he appeared 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he started this Sankirtan movement in India, West Bengal, and he preached all over India. He made one prediction that the holy name of the Lord will spread through every town and village of the world. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1965, after first receiving the instruction in 1922 from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, only at the age of 70 in 1965, Srila Prabhupada, he carried out that instruction. So Srila Prabhupada has fulfilled that prediction of Lord Chaitanya, that the holy name of Krishna will spread through every town and village of the world. And also in 1922, the instruction was by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to Srila Prabhupada that you're a young educated man. You should preach this Krishna consciousness or the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada, he was a young man and he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. At that time, Mahatma Gandhi was leading the revolution to free India from British rule. And Srila Prabhupada, he sympathized with Mahatma Gandhi. And he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. And he argued with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that who will listen to this message of Lord Chaitanya? Because India is now a dependent country. First we have to free India from British rule. And then we'll be able to preach and then we'll get response and people will hear this message. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, no, that this Krishna consciousness, it's an emergency. To spread the chanting of the Maha Mantra, it's an emergency. And it doesn't depend on who ruled. It doesn't depend on politics. It is beyond us, beyond all the borders and everything. It doesn't matter. Krishna consciousness is an emergency. So for this while, maybe for an hour or so, Srila Prabhupada at that time, he was known as Abhay Charan. He had discussions with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And when he left with his friend Narendranath Malik, his friend who brought him to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, what do you think of this saintly person? And Srila Prabhupada said that the message of Lord Chaitanya is in the hands of a very expert person. And later on, Srila Prabhupada, he commented that when I met him later on, I understood that I met a very nice saintly person. So this is how we are now receiving the Maha Mantra. So in order to receive the Maha Mantra, we have to cleanse our heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna himself. When he appeared, he didn't write any books. But he only left 8 verses called the Shikshastikam. And the first verse which we recite is Cheto Dharpana Mahajanam Pavamahadvagani Nirvapanam Shreya Krerava Chandrika Vitaranam Vitya Vadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhi Vadanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritash Vadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So it's glory to Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. Krishna, God, is saying this. It cleanses the heart. Why? Because we have dirt in our heart. God, Krishna, is saying, by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, it cleanses the heart. That means there's dirt. Why will we clean? Every day the devotees come and clean the temple, they clean the ashram, because there's dirt. The dust accumulates. So therefore Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, is saying, there's dirt in our hearts. The first instruction is giving. Glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. And what's that dirt in our heart? Lust, anger, greed, hatred, pride, envy, madness, illusion. It's there in our heart.
Transformation.
Oh, okay. So, these qualities are there in our heart. Since we are in the samsara, the cycle of birth and death, over these unlimited lifetimes, we've accumulated so much dirt in our hearts. Therefore, this is the beginning of the cleansing process. Item of this dirt in our heart is called envy. We all have this envy. Some say it's the reason why we've fallen down back into this material world, because of envy. This is not only we are envious with others materially, when we see someone else progressing, they have a nice car, they have a nice house, they have a nice job. Sometimes there's envy, but that's material. You'll be surprised also in spiritual circles as well, there's envy. especially in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Especially when he went back to India after preaching in America, he took his Western disciples. He called them his dancing white elephants. He went and he established many centers, especially the first three main in Bombay, Mayapur and in Vrindavan. And in Mayapur, many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, those who stayed, they would visit the local Gaudiya Math temples. You may know the history. Unfortunately, after the demise or the passing away of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the Gaudiya Math, which he started, he established over 64 temples all over India. After he left, then the Gaudiya Math basically collapsed because the senior devotees were fighting who will be the manager, who will be the owner of this temple. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, in one meeting with Srila Prabhupada, he warned Prabhupada that there will be fire in the math. Already now they're fighting. We have a big marble temple in Calcutta, and they're fighting who will occupy which room. So in this way, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada left this planet, this is exactly what happened. Angun Jalva, they say, there's fire in the math. And this is exactly, and there's ongoing court cases. And then in this way, many of the sannyasis and leading senior devotees, they started their own little maths. And sometimes Prabhupada disciples would go and visit these maths to get the association of most senior devotees. And in one case, one of the devotees went to a certain math. And this sannyasi, who was Prabhupada's disciple, who was in charge, he criticized Srila Prabhupada. He's saying that your Guru Maharaj is a businessman. When he was a Grihastha, he was a businessman. Because Srila Prabhupada was in the pharmaceutical trade. And now that he's become a sannyasi, he's still in the business, he's doing book business. He's printing books and he's asking you all to go out and distribute them. So in this way, this particular sannyasi, was meant to be a senior devotee. So the devotees would go and take his darshan, you know, and things like that. But when the devotees came back and they told Srila Prabhupada, this sannyasi from this month, this is what he said, that you're a businessman. And you doing business by selling books and things like that. Then Prabhupada said, just see, he's such a senior person. He's so long in Krishna consciousness, but he hasn't understood. He has envy in him. See, even in spiritual circles, there's envy. So we have to be so careful. And Prabhupada was often criticized, especially after he saw the devotees, some of his godbrothers, they saw how successful he was in preaching Krishna consciousness in the West. And he was establishing major centers in India. Many of them would criticize him. But Prabhupada, he did not hold anything in his heart. He did not hold anything in his heart. There was one case where one of the senior godbrothers of Prabhupada passed away. But this godbrother used to criticize Prabhupada as well. And when the devotees came and told Srila Prabhupada that your godbrother has passed away, and Prabhupada said, oh, what a great loss. And he's gone back to Krishna. Then the devotees asked Prabhupada, but how come he's gone back to Krishna when he was always criticizing you? And Prabhupada said, no, that's not important. He's gone back to Godhead because he did a lot of service for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta liked his service and accepted his service. Therefore, he's gone back to Godhead. Criticizing me, Prabhupada said, is not a big deal. So Prabhupada did not hold anything in his heart. So this is the mood we should also imbibe. This is how we in a very big movement with many people coming from different backgrounds. As I say, we're coming with heavy baggages. So, and when we are criticized or someone finds fault in us, we should not hold anything in our heart. We should take it as the mercy. Yes, I need to improve. And we should find out, yes, how can I improve? We shouldn't become defensive. Because defending is animal propensity. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending is animal propensity. So the more we defend ourselves, the more, you know, we will not make advancement. But if someone criticizes us, or they find fault, and they tell us how to do things, we should be open to that. Yes, I'm new, I do not know what to do, please instruct me. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada set a wonderful example of a clean heart. His heart was clean. Therefore, he didn't have any bad thoughts about those who criticized him, things like that. He didn't hold anything in his heart. And we know the later on, when Prabhupada was about to leave his body in Vrindavan, when all the Gaudiya Math or his senior god brothers came, and he lifted his hand and he was praying to them, please forgive me for all my offenses. At that stage, he was totally invalid, but his consciousness was so clear, so pure. Please forgive me for all my offenses. So this is Srila Prabhupada. This is a perfect example of someone who has followed the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore his heart was totally clean. It was devoid of the propensity to criticize others. He'll criticize you to uplift you, to uplift your consciousness. That's required. But not to criticize to bring someone down. So this is the point that Prabhupada is making. Just by hearing the name of Godhead, one is immediately attracted. This is the only way we can become attracted to Radha and Krishna. The only way we can become attracted to Srila Prabhupada is when we give up. Sarva dharmam parityaja. We give up everything. Then we can become attracted. The Prabhupada continues. A person becomes fully qualified with all transcendental qualities by following rules and regulations as recommended in different scriptures. So this is basically what we've been hearing of previously is the Vanashrama Dharma spoken by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. The main point of Vanashrama Dharma or following rules and regulations is to bring you on to the level of a human being. Because animals do not follow any rules and regulations. They don't know rules and regulations. So if a human being is simply, again, leading the life of an animal, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, you know, then he's not in the Vanashrama system. He's an animal. There's four-legged animals and two-legged animals. So we are like two-legged animals because if you look at our lives before we came to Krishna consciousness, we are simply waiting when to enjoy. We work hard to get some enjoyment. So many things. We are like animals. But this Vanashrama system which Prabhupada stressed, so we can follow and we can come up at least to the level of being a human being. And from a level of a human being, then we can come up to the level of being a Vaishnava. See? So this brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas are all important. But on their own, it is not sufficient to attain love of God. They will make you strong in your ashram. Brahmacharya, a little boy from the age of 5, is sent to the ashram or the gurukul of the spiritual master, where he is trained. He is trained in cleanliness, he is trained to control his senses, and he is trained to be a menial servant of his guru. This is brahmacharya life. And by doing this, he will attain all good qualities. Even if he chooses to get married, he'll still have good qualities. He'll not act crazy when he's with a girl. He'll not talk whimsically. So many things. So this is how this Varnashrama system works is by training. You should know the qualities that's required of each ashram. Even if we've come late into Krishna consciousness, we are already married. We are elderly. So we should know what from Grihastha life, which is married life, the next is Vanaprastha. So we should learn the qualities. And we should learn to immediately try and detach ourselves, at least mentally, so we can become free to explore the next ashram like that. Sannyas as well. We should know what the qualities are. And in this way we'll know, okay, this is a brahmachari, this is how he should act. And if we see he's a little deviant, we should try and help him in some way. Same with the grihastha. We should know these qualities and we should help each other. But the main thing is to be trained from the very beginning in brahmacharya. And grihastha ashram is probably the most important ashram in Krishna consciousness, because the grihasthas, in basically two ways, they can do wonderful service for Krishna and Prabhupada. Is that as grihasthas, they can invite souls who haven't completed the process and they can give them shelter. That means you have children, but before conceiving, you should pray to Krishna, please send a soul that hasn't completed their Krishna consciousness, and I will fulfill, I'll give them all facilities in which in this lifetime they can complete the process and come back to you, go back home, back to Godhead. So this is one way. The grihasthas have a very, very special responsibility that they should have children, but they should be able to train, make sure that the children become fully Krishna conscious, make sure they become initiated devotees. Sometimes we see in our movement, it's unfortunate, the devotee children deviate. So many cases they take to the normal ways, like the normal children. So it has become difficult. So as parents in Krishna consciousness, as grihasthas, this is what we should do. We should be trained ourselves first, then we can train our children. So, and of course, this is one of the main duties of the grihastha. Another duty of the grihastha ashram is that you should support fully the Krishna consciousness movement or the temple that you are associated with, the temple that you're serving in. You should fully cooperate with the management. You should fully give your services, your time. If you have extra Lakshmi, you should donate it to the temple. So in this way, the grihasthas, they can take care of the rest. They can take care of the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, simply by taking care of this temple. Because now everyone will come to the temple. They'll preach. And from this temple, so many preaching programs go on. Food for Life, Harinam, home programs. We have big festivals that attract so many people. So this is, Prabhupada speaks here, by following the rules and regulations. So we have to have a good understanding of the Varnashrama system and put it in place in some way or the other. We should not deviate. Always when there's some difficulty, we should speak to the seniors in our yatra or in our temple. I have some difficulty in understanding this or implementing this practically. How do I do it? So when we do this, then it's good for us individually and for the whole community when we try and practice properly. So I think that's what Prabhupada is speaking, by following the rules and regulations as recommended in different scriptures. Of course, we know Prabhupada, he wanted to fully establish the Varnashrama system, and he looked more at the farm communities for establishing the Varnashrama system. And I will just continue a little. Prabhupada goes on to say, we have developed certain unnecessary qualities by material association, and by following the above process, we become free from that contamination. To develop transcendental qualities, as explained in the previous verse, one must become free from these contaminated qualities. Again, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is to cleanse the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. So the only way we can become free from the from this contamination is by the association of devotees. Prabhupada said, we have created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness simply to give everyone the chance to associate with devotees. So why is that so important? Why is it so important, this Sangha that we have Prabhupada created? There's some nice examples of how people have benefited by the association of pure devotees. One example is of in Chaitanya Leela. We know that Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he performed many pastimes in Mayapur, Navadvip Mayapur area, West Bengal. And in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement in the very beginning, Lord Chaitanya, he asked Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go door to door. Everyone you see, you ask them to chant Hare Krishna. This was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. So they took it up. And they were going door to door, village to village, knocking on doors. Please chant Hare Krishna. So as they were going, they saw two drunkards. And the names were Jagai and Madai. And they were very feared because they were murderers and thieves. So people will generally avoid them. And so they thought, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur thought that let's try and give these souls the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So they approached him, you know, please chant Hare Krishna. So when these brothers were approached in this way, they became very angry. And immediately, you know, you could see they were, and they became agitated, they were angry. And they became so angry that Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they ran away. And then, but then later on the next day, they were thinking, no, still it's the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let's go and approach them again. So they went, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they went again and they approached these two brothers, Jagai and Madai. And there's a history. Jagai and Madai were born in Brahmana families. They were Brahmins. Their names were Jagannath and Madhavananda Raya. They were Brahmins. But due to bad association, they became drunkards and murderers, and they call them debauchees, they call them in India. So, and in this way, I know everyone feared them. And the so Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they went again and they approached Jagai and Madai that you please chant Hare Krishna. And again they got angry, and this time Jagai, he hit Lord Nityananda with an earthen pot and he began to bleed. And then this news went to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya immediately came and he wanted to kill these two brothers. And then when they saw that the Lord was about to kill these two brothers, Lord Nityananda reminded Lord Chaitanya of his mission, that you've come to save the most fallen conditioned souls. And in this way, also the brothers, they began to repent as well. And they beg for forgiveness from Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he excused them. And then the brothers, after a while, when they sobered up a little, Madhai, he went to Nityananda Prabhu. And he was speaking to him in confidence. He was revealing his mind in confidence. And they were speaking in a solitary place. And Madai, he is telling Nityananda Prabhu, there's so many people that I have offended. I cannot count. And you know, if I have to go to each one and beg for forgiveness, you know, I'll miss so many people. because I cannot even remember, you know, there's so many people that I offended. What should I do? You know, I can't, there's so many people offended. And, you know, it's so difficult, but I want to repent and, you know, ask for their forgiveness. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, yeah, that's good. And how you can repent, you know, how you can atone, is that you go to the ghat on Ganga and you clean this ghat, make it as clean as possible. So every day Madhai would go and would clean this bathing ghat on Ganga. He'll take his spade, he'll make sure it is spotless, he'll be clean. So he was doing this, and everyone saw, while he was cleaning, he was also chanting the names of Krishna. See? So everyone, they were surprised that how such a person has now become such a great devotee. And he was serving Ganga, Mother Ganga. And so in this way, everyone were coming, the devotees, the pilgrims, they were coming and, you know, with such a clean atmosphere and such a good mood, they were taking their bath, they were offering prayers, and everyone was feeling happy. And Madhai was also advancing because he was getting transcendental bliss, he was experiencing ecstasy by doing this. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, you should continue doing this. In two, you will benefit in two ways, because one, it is service to Mother Ganga. And in this way, by serving Mother Ganga, you will, there will be all auspiciousness for you. All your sins will be removed. And then and the other way you will benefit, because you will receive the blessings of all the devotees and pilgrims that come to take their bath there. So in this way, Madhai, he became a first class devotee. He became the most strict brahmachari. See? How? It's by the association of pure devotees. Huh? He received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. See? So this is how we can become free from all the contaminations of this world that are within us, is by the association of pure devotees. There's another nice pastime. Now in the pastimes of Prabhupada, just by the association of Prabhupada, we find so many devotees became great, great, pure devotees. One of them is Malati Mataji. She is the pioneer of Krishna consciousness on the west coast of America and in London. She explained, I was fortunate when she spoke, how she came to Krishna consciousness. And I was there sitting and she was speaking. This was in a temple in Bali. And she was there. Deppan Sar, and she spoke about how she came to Krishna consciousness. And she said that they were along at that time with a boyfriend, Sam, and later on he was initiated as Shama Sundar Prabhu. And they had friends in New York, and the friends were Michael Grant and Jan, and they were initiated as Mukunda and Janaki. So they wrote to their friends in New York wrote to them that they will be coming to visit them on the west coast. And in that letter, Mukunda Maharaj, as he is known now, he wrote that we've met a very nice Swami. He's very strict, he's a genuine Swami. And now we've met him and we've become his followers. And now we're coming to the west coast and we're trying to probably start his mission here on the west coast as well. So at that time, Malati Mataji and Shama Sundar Prabhu, they had a job, I think, with the game reserve, and they were living in a mountain. Oh, no, they were taking care of some buildings and things like that in different mountains, and they were living on a mountain. I think it was like a watchtower or something like that. So they were reading this letter and they said, oh, okay, our friends are coming from New York to visit us. And so they explained, and also one thing different they saw on the letter, they saw a different name. Instead of Michael, they saw Mukunda. So they were thinking, wow, this is strange, who's Mukunda? But these are the same people that we know. And so when at that time, it was maybe 1966, 1967, Mukunda Maharaj and his wife at that time, they came to San Francisco on the West Coast, and then they went to this area where these devotees were living at that time. They were not devotees. They were just like living together. So when they came, there was no one in the house that they were living at. They went to another mountain. So immediately when they got there, they began to cook their own food, vegetarian food. So when Malati Mataji came back, she saw her friends there, but they looked different, and they were cooking something different, not meat and things like that. So they were inquiring, what's all this? You know, you're cooking veggies now, your names are different, what's happening? So they explained, oh, we've met this wonderful Swami in New York, and we've been initiated by him, we've received these names, and we are now vegetarians, we don't eat any meat, fish or eggs, things like that. So, and then they began to ask more questions on exactly what they were doing. So this is how she came to Krishna consciousness. Within a year, just by the association of Srila Prabhupada, there were so many other devotees that came. And when we read of in Leela Amrita, and we read a book called Miracle on Second Avenue, we'll see what great service they did. They lived so austerely. They started in San Francisco. Shamasundar Prabhu carved the first Jagannath deities that they had Ratha Yatra. 9 July 1967 was the first Ratha Yatra on the West Coast. Then they went to London. The three couples went to London. And they were living in different places. So austere. But it was only by the association of Srila Prabhupada. See? So this is again how we become free from this contamination, is by the association of devotees, pure devotees. And now for the next 10,000 years, that association will come from the books of Srila Prabhupada. That pure association that will free us from the contamination. Again, just a little final note. During his last days in Vrindavan, this is told by one devotee in the memory series, Remembering Prabhupada. I forget his name, maybe it's Udayananda Prabhu or someone. So he came from the temple that he was living to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was lying in his bed there in Vrindavan, in his home. And the devotees warned him, when you go to see Prabhupada, you've never seen Prabhupada like this before. You have to make yourself strong. Because everyone loved Prabhupada. They were so used with Prabhupada going around the world, joking with everyone, the devotees. So when they saw the devotees, when you're going into Prabhupada to see him, you've never seen him like this before. It's like basically bones. And he was like invalid. So this devotee went in, and there were many other devotees around Prabhupada's bed. And everyone was crying. And this devotee also started crying when he saw Prabhupada in such a condition. Then after a few minutes, Prabhupada got up and he looked around and he saw everyone was crying. And he asked the devotees, why are you all crying? And the devotee said, dear Prabhupada, we cannot stand or bear to see you in this condition. And Prabhupada said, no, it's natural. It's natural for an old man to die. But for a young person, there's some kind of mistake. Something's wrong somewhere. But for an old man, it is natural for an old man to die. So why are you crying? Then the devotee said, Prabhupada, we know if you leave or if you die, we do not know how we will go on in this world. And then Prabhupada said, no, I'll never die. I'll always live in my books. So this is how from now on, for the next 10,000 years, those who are fortunate will come to Krishna consciousness and they will receive Prabhupada's association directly through his books. So this is how Prabhupada speaks here. We have developed certain unnecessary qualities by material association. And by following the above process, we become free from that contamination. So this is how we develop our transcendental qualities, how we become free from the effects of material association. And Srila Prabhupada said many times that he'll always be in his books. We'll always have his association. And he said that this ISKCON movement, it's my body. We have to be very careful when we're in ISKCON what we do. Because we're bringing harm if we do something that we do it out of ignorance, we don't know, or we out of envy, or to get back at someone, we cause harm. We're bringing harm to Prabhupada's body. This is ISKCON. And if we leave, we're most unfortunate. Prabhupada said, never leave this movement. We have to be here through thick and thin. We just have to tolerate. Tolerate, cooperate. There's a famous saying by His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Tolerate, cooperate. So, thank you very much. I'll stop there and we'll take your comments and questions. Hare Krishna. Okay, Karantara Shriman Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.